So I said, SubhanAllah, now I got a problem. So anyway, then I called up. I got the guts, you know, not to go in person, but to call up. And I called up Sheikh Zulfikar, and I said, you know, Hazrat, I know you said I should go to Islamabad, and I should study in Islamabad, but I just wanted to let you know, just in case this makes a difference, you know, you say it in the most subtle way, that, oh, I talked to Maulana such and such, and he said that he studied there, and that it was not a good place, it was a great place when he was there, but everything has gone wrong. Literally in my life, I can only remember 3 or 4 times when I got blasted by my Sheikh. I got leveled, blasted with a capital B. He said, what do you think? You think that I have no concern for you? You think that I don't know what's going on? You think I would just send you to waste your time? Is that what you think? But then go study wherever you want to go to study. No problem. And then that was the end of the conversation. Finally, that got through my mind. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, SubhanAllah, that said, I have to go there. Even if it's a waste of 2 years, it doesn't matter, because it's still not a waste of 2 years because of the fact that it will make him happy. So anyway, I finally mustered up the courage to say that, yes, I'm going to go and study there. And we went, me and my wife and my daughter, we went there. And when we got there, well, actually, I got there before them. And when I got there, I was so worried. You know, I started thinking, you know, what's going to happen? Everybody was saying so many bad things, that there's no good teachers there, and that this is wrong, and that that's wrong. So I land there, and then there was a person who picked me up from the airport who was one of the students of Sheikh Zulfikar. One of the big students of Sheikh Zulfikar. Actually, he had just become one of the khulafa of Sheikh Zulfikar. So he picks me up and he takes me to his home. So, you know, he puts me in a room and he says, I'll be back soon. He came back 24 hours later. All right? 24 hours later, he came back. And every 6 hours, there'd be knock on the door and then someone would slip a plate of food underneath the curtain. And then I would eat that food, and then they would take the plate back. And I would keep thinking every time there was a knock on the door that this guy would come back. So right away in my mind, doubts started arising. You know, what is this? This guy puts me in this room for 24 hours straight. And, you know, I'm supposed to be studying, and I came here to become a big mufti, big alim. This should have started, you know, Imam Bukhari should have picked me up from the airport. Why is this guy picking me up from the airport? So anyway, and then he finally, 24 hours later, he shows up. He says, I was very busy. I was doing this and doing that. I said, no problem. I started thinking that, you know, basically this was part of my training as well. So he says to me, I have to show you the most amazing thing. I'm thinking, the most amazing thing? Yeah, let's see it. So he says, I got this computer from England. So he turns it on and he shows me the keyboard and he shows me the monitor. And he's so excited. And he's saying, but this is a special computer. On this computer is the deen, knowledge of the deen. So I said, in what way? He said that there is a program on this computer called Alim. And this program can even make you an Alim. And actually, I'm thinking, you don't need to study in the institute. You'll study from this computer in this institute. Now I'm thinking in the back of my mind, we're in trouble. I'm expecting Imam Bukhari to pick me up at the airport. And now I'm learning that I'm going to study from Alim on the computer that I had in my house 3 years ago, right? So I started thinking, you know, this is just a big mess. So I said, you know, I mean, and he's also Sheikh too, right? So I said, you know, Hazrat, whatever you say, but I think that Hazrat Ji, you know, Sheikh Zulfikar wanted me to go to study over here in this particular place. So he said, no, I'll take you there too. I'll take you there too. So anyway, we got one morning, 2-3 days later, he takes me in the morning and we go visit the school. And when we get to the school, the teachers sit down and they start saying, you know, yes, okay, you want to learn. So what books do you want to do? So I say to them, well, I don't know, but Sheikh Zulfikar, he sent me this list of books and he just told me to give this to you. So they open up the list of books and the guy just starts laughing. And he looks at me, he says, these are the hardest books. From years 3, 4, and 5, these are the hardest books selected from each individual year. So how is it going to be that you're going to walk in here and all of a sudden study these 7 hardest books? Not only, normally if you take 6 classes, but that one of the books came before. You know, they call it Qabla Zawaq. They call it like the morning period before even the school starts. So anyway, he looks at me and says, there's no way. Nobody in this institute can handle those books. So I say, you know, I don't know. Hazrat put me in these books, so these are the books that I'm gonna have to do. I don't have any choice. So anyway, they say, okay, you know, if you want to take these books, we'll temporarily put you in these classes, but this isn't going to work. When Huzrath comes here, then we'll have to sit down and have a discussion. So anyway, it's very interesting that there were 40 teachers in the institute, 40 different teachers. But the way the books worked out, it worked out such that of those 40, only three were my teachers. Four of the classes were taught by the exact same teacher, whose name was Mufti Muhammad Amin. One class was taught by Maulana Abdul Ghaffar, and one class was taught by another teacher. So anyway, I go into these classes, and everyone is thinking that this is just absolutely crazy. So I start sitting in these classes. I have no clue what anyone's talking about. Just way beyond me. I was totally lost. I just didn't know what they were saying. It was like, first of all, barely could understand Urdu properly. But then on top of that, it was like they were speaking some sort of Chinese dialect of Urdu or something. I had no clue what they were saying. And then on top of that, the books are in Arabic. And the books are the books written hundreds of years ago. So much so that when I left Damascus to go to Pakistan, Sheikh Muhammad Yaqubi, very famous scholar in Damascus, he said, why are you going to Pakistan? What are you going to study there? I listed the books. I said, Sharajami, Usul al-Shashi. He was shocked. He said, these are the books my grandfather taught. We wouldn't even dare teach these books. These are so complicated. Then you don't find these books anymore being taught in this part of the world. So he was very impressed, actually, by the curriculum there. And the curriculum is all books from over 200, 300, 500 years ago. That's the way the curriculum is designed. They're all in Arabic, classical Arabic. So anyway, I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, this is just not going to work. Eventually, you know, within a couple of weeks, I slowly began to pick up pace and I began to understand what was going on. And within about a month or two, maybe a month and a half, I became actually settled there. And then it so happened that these four books that I was learning with this one teacher, Mufti Muhammad Amin, later on I came to recognize that Mufti Muhammad Amin was actually the best teacher in all of Pakistan. He had a reputation that whoever he taught always placed the highest in the national exam. So they would take an exam in years 2, 4, 6, and 8. So he had just taught year 4 in Karachi, and his students placed highest nationally, not within the city, within the whole nation of Pakistan. And it so happened that he came to teach in that school just a few weeks before I got there. And all four books that he was teaching me were the four hardest books in the curriculum, and he was the best teacher of those books, I would say, anywhere. And I honestly believe anywhere in the world, probably. So much so that one of the books that he taught me, Sharh Jami, the only Urdu Sharh ever written on that book, or the first one we can say, was actually written by Mufti Muhammad Amin, and he was writing it while he taught me the book. You can just imagine the depth of knowledge he must have had as he taught that book. And he was, I can say, I am his carbon copy. The way I teach and the way I talk and everything is exactly the way he was. I mean, he was so energetic when he taught and, you know, he was just so logical when he taught. And all of those characteristics I feel, you know, I wasn't able to replicate them, but many of them I tried to capture. And it reflects my method of teaching today so much so that when I teach in the medical school, people always say, you know, where did you learn to teach like that? Which teacher are you teaching? Are you copying? And then you say, oh, this guy who lived in a hut. Nobody's going to believe you, right? But subhanAllah, that was the benefit. Now, Ajib, when I finished that first year, you know, so then I began to see the barakah in this decision, right? So when I finished the first year, then when you get into these kind of environments, what happens is everyone begins to discuss these kind of things. So what happens is, I mean, this is the nature of the madrasa student. They start discussing where they're going to study the next books and which teacher they're going to study the next books with. So then they started saying, I'm going to go and study this with Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib. I'm going to go and study this with this person. I'm going to go study this with this person. I'm going to go to Darul Uloom Deoband and study this. Everyone had their own inclination. And by that time, I had fallen just so close, gotten so close to Mufti Muhammad Amin, that I basically said, it doesn't matter. I'm studying with Mufti Muhammad Amin. Whatever he teaches, I'm studying next year. Okay, Ajib, I only had 2 years in Pakistan. So the goal of first year was to just create some base, and the goal of second year was for me to take some higher level books. Now, the ideal thing, and actually what was Sheikh Zulfikar's goal, plan, and it's a very convoluted way in which I ended up there, and I can't go into the details, but his plan was that I was going to study Dore Hadith. Because Dore Hadith is the final year, it's the eighth year, and although I wouldn't be fully qualified to sit there, the barakah of sitting there is like sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, literally. It's almost so that the class, you know, people start having dreams about Rasulullah, and it's just the most ajeeb and unique environment. It's the greatest connection you can have, because you do the Sahih Sitta, you do Bukhari, you do Muslim, you do Tirmidhi, you do all of those books of hadith within a 9-month period, and you get an ijazah in every single book. Abu Dawood, all of these major 6 books of hadith, plus more. Okay? So anyway, Sheikh Zulfikar wanted me to take this. Now, people started saying there was this old teacher teaching Dore Hadith.